I have these last couple of weeks kind of been talking about relationship in a broad speaking way, terminology, whatever. Okay, I've been talking about relationship. All right, the relationship that we have with God, and something clicked in me again this week. Okay, it's a particular aspect of it comes out in relationship. All right, and as it's on the way. Okay. Kyle gave me this key. In fact, when did I get set in? Was it the 10th or the 16th of July? No, it was July. Was it the 10th or the 16th? Was it a week ago? Wow. Okay. Well, Kyle gave me this key a year and a week ago. All right. And he said that this was the key to Dungarvan. Okay. The key to Dungarvan. Symbolically. All right. It is old, I know, but it's not old enough to open the gate of the castle or anything else like that. Right? So he felt that he didn't have the key, but he found the key, and the key was given to me. Well, how many times have we been in prayer meetings? All right, people have had images of people in prison, people bound by chains, people stuck in jails and that. Okay, and it's like, and I don't know how many times I prayed, I've got this thing, and I'm like, God, give us the key which is going to open that prison door. Yep, give us the key which is going to open that prison door, right, and set them free. Now, we've been praying about all this. I was singing about this morning. I'm like, wow, these worship songs are so in tune with where I'm going this morning. All right. So there I was in the prayer meeting on Wednesday, if you remember, okay? And it struck me. Now, a number of us have been going through the SOZO training, okay? And I was even sharing a little bit with Don there yesterday. You know, there is something particular that we are learning, all right, which is setting me free, okay? Which is setting me free as I go through this process, all right? And also, As in my immaturity in SOZO, I've been applying some of these tools, and we were applying them even this week, even amongst the youth and things like that. And I have seen youth and also adults busting open in freedom. Okay? And what it boiled down to was forgiveness. Okay? It was forgiveness. All right? And that is what, you know, and I said on Wednesday, I am convinced that this is the key which God has given us, or is giving us, all right, to share with this community and see people breaking free. All right? And like I said, this young lad on Friday night at midnight, okay, when I didn't like to lead him in a prayer of, you know, you got to whatever, okay, all right, first thing I asked him is, you know, this is SOZO, isn't it? What's happening? Okay? What is it? He asked me, so I said, can I pray for you? He said, oh, please do. And I said, well, what's happening? Jason and I were upstairs. And he's literally, his own words were this. Okay? I feel tonight as if the prison door has just blown open. And I get download. I'm downloading from God here, right? Okay? He says, I feel as if the chains which have bound me all my life, I've just gone bang and snapped. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. Download coming here. All right, I'm hearing this. For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. I'm getting it. And he's going on. He says, I've never felt like this in my life. I've never experienced this in my life. I'm like, okay, we never told him what to say. We never said, you know, it's not like we're, you know, feeding him anything and he's coming back. This is coming out of him. Okay, so I'm going there. And there's a Bible there by the side, and I said, David, would you mind just reading this for me a minute? Read it to yourself. Read it out loud as if you're reading it to yourself. And he read there, Romans chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. And he says, for now there is no condemnation. Oh, what does that mean? Okay. Well, that's the laying on of guilt, isn't it? Okay. Condemnation is the laying on of guilt. So we were able to explain that the guilt that was laid upon him, because he is now, what's it? Because of Christ Jesus, it's taken off. All right, so, okay, I've got that. For now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he reads on, for the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. That is me! He said, that is me. Right? We never told him what to say. He read that out loud and he said, "That is me." Right? We just knew then that this had happened. Okay, this was nothing that somebody had told him. We've never explained this to him. All right, you should have seen him moving around on the bags in the evening as he was able to express the questions and the issues that he had in his life for the first time in ages, in his life, all his life, things like that. So it's amazing to see that freedom come through. All right, on Thursday I offered to do a session with the youth team, okay, the English youth team on forgiveness, because I felt from earlier on in the week that there was a whole load of issues relating to forgiveness which needed to be brought out. And I did that. And as I finished, I asked if anybody wished to be prayed for or prayed with in private or whatever. Okay. And we did a micro sozo couple of bits and pieces, you know, sort of close your eyes. Okay. Where is God? All right. And sort of people with images. Okay. Okay. What lie am I believing about God right now? Father God right now. All right. And I did that. Okay. And what truth does Father God want to speak to me right now? And they did that. Okay. And I said, anybody who wants to share? Okay, and one of the youth shared something, and we walked through, and we dealt with issues there. And it was forgiveness that needed to be dealt with, right? She never said who it was or anything like that, but she personally went through that walk of forgiveness. And then somebody else, okay, within the group, all right, it was in a public sphere anyway, it was one of the leaders within the group, all right, she, okay, said that she was really concerned about the fact that all these teenagers needed to get connected to God, and that she was doing everything that she could possibly do to make sure that that happens. And straight away, I'm getting download here. She feels that she has to make it happen. Well, if she feels that she has to make it happen, obviously she feels that God can't do it. All right? And also, she has to fill her life with so much busyness and everything else like that. Okay, somewhere back in her life, someone was not there to meet her needs when she needed her needs met. Understand? All right? She needed to forgive someone for not meeting those needs way back then. And consequently, she feels that she now has to do everything. All right? Again, download here. And then things like that. So we prayed through that. And I said, let's ask God who it is that you need to forgive. So we closed our eyes and asked God. And woof, straight away, she saw who she needed to forgive. I said, will you forgive that person now? Yes. Okay, so we led through that. We walked through that forgiveness. And the release that that woman felt there and then was just absolutely incredible. Right? And we thought we'd be ministering to the youth. And then afterwards, another one of the leaders came in, and we had a wonderful time, right? As that person forgave someone from years ago specific things which were now manifesting, you know, the consequences of that were manifested in their life today. All right? Okay? So, it works. All right? It's not just Steve's theory on forgiveness or anything else like that. It works. And I know because I've been through it too. And I'm going to share some of that later on as well. Okay? All right. I love it in John chapter 8. Okay? If you have your Bibles there, all right? Okay. John chapter 8. I think I've got a slide of this one as well. In fact, it's on your notices. It should be there. Yep. Dum, dum. All right. I'm going to wait for this warm up again. Ding. Aha, here we go. Right? John chapter 8. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, okay? He didn't say this to any strangers. He didn't say this to any Gentiles, heathens, savages, non-believers, or anything else like that. He said this to the Jews who had believed in him. So from that, I take it it's a message for us as well. All right? If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will... Woohoo! The truth will set you free. All right? Jesus in John chapter 17... prays, and he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. This is truth. Okay? This is the truth that will set you free. All right? So, with that in mind, we're going to take a look at something. All right, leave it there. All right? Well, let's put that back up for now. We'll just leave that one there for a minute, okay? All right. Father God, we thank you this morning for our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you equally for your Holy Spirit who is here now with us. And we pray that we would receive personal download from you this morning. That we would know not only in our head, but in our gut and in our spirit, your truth this morning. Your passion for us, your desire for us, Lord God. Oh God. Lord, we want to be free. Not free in a chaotic manner. Not free to do silly things, but free, completely and utterly free in your kingdom, in the life that you have for us. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if God wants you to be free, how can we read something like Matthew chapter 18? Okay, now those who went through the Sozo training yesterday, we're going to be going back over some ground that you touched upon yesterday, okay? All right, so in Matthew chapter 18, okay? Matthew chapter 18, verse 23, Jesus shares a parable, and he says this, are we there? No, those that are ready? Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him his debt. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Ouch. Okay? All right? On the DVD, on the training DVD yesterday, they were saying there, okay? Right? We've all heard, I think basically has everybody heard this parable, okay? This story. All right? And they were saying there that many people probably in their Bibles have verse 35 blacked out. Okay? The idea, who is the master? God. All right? The idea that God is willing to put you in jail. Okay, that sounds horrible, doesn't it? All right? That really, really matches the image that we might have of God sitting on his judgmental throne in his judgely gowns, okay, the all-powerful judge who just wants to chuck you into jail. Yeah? Okay, I agree with you. We'll go there. Okay? Well, then Barbara's ahead of the game here. No, he's just great. Download. Receive. God, download. I don't know. Is that one of the terms that they use on Sozo Train DVD? Is it download? Is it? I just keep saying that now. Getting download. I know. It's like, you know, I'm moving into the technological ages now. Download. All right. But that's what it feels like sometimes, because you know it's not coming from within. It must be coming from somewhere. All right. Three voices that we hear. Okay. The enemy, myself, and God. Okay. Which one am I receiving download from? All right. So there we go. Okay. So this horrible master, all right, is willing to put his servant, who's the servant? Us, into jail. Why? Why did he put him into jail? No, he forgave his debt, remember? All right? The master forgave the first servant's debt of 10,000 denarii, didn't he? Yeah? All right. What was the reason that the master put him into jail? All right, he didn't forgive. Show mercy. Okay, he did not forgive. It wasn't because he didn't pay his 10,000 euro debt or whatever it was, okay? He'd already forgiven him that. All right? Now then, okay? This is looking at God through those lenses, and you heard them say on the training session there yesterday. This is looking at God through those lenses that God is a condemning God. God is an all-powerful God who wishes to condemn me. All right? Who wishes justice upon me. All right? How many people have actually grown up with that attitude, you know, that vision of God, yeah? All right? I remember having it as a child. I remember having it all my life. All right? But what does the Bible tell us about God? Okay? But also, in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." What does John 3:17 say? He came not to condemn the world, but to save the world through his Son. So how does this marry up with that? Yeah? All right? God does not desire to condemn, but unfortunately the glasses that we wear give us that perception that he is condemning. All right. Okay. Again, in the training DVDs there, they quote verses from Isaiah 61. All right. Do you remember where Jesus walks into the synagogue, grabs hold of the scroll, opens up the scroll, and says in front of everybody, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay, I have come to preach," etc. Well, where did he get that from? He got that from Isaiah 61. Okay, and Isaiah 61 says this: "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." And this is a lovely bit. "They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations." And that is something that I'm really getting to grips with. And I know this is the motivation for why they do Sozo. And I'll tell you, this is my motivation for doing what I'm doing. All right? I want to see restoration in people's lives. I want to see lives restored, repaired. And often, that is a generational thing. Although we experience it ourselves, we personally experience it, okay? Quite often, it is a generational thing. Because something which has happened back in the generations is now affecting my life today, and consequently, if I don't deal with it here and now, it will affect my generations afterwards. All right? I've mentioned this before, okay? Back in our family, right? They were involved in witchcraft. People were involved in witchcraft. How do I know that? Because as a child, I found books in our house which were witchcraft manuals. We're not talking sort of fairy tales here or anything else like that. These were actual manuals on how to do witchcraft with photographs. And I was fascinated by this as a child. And I would sneak out and get it. I knew it was a bad thing to look at. But I would sneak it, I would get it, and I would hide away and I would look at the stuff that was in there. Okay? And like that. Now, that was when I was a child. Years later, as an adult, okay, something happened to my father and my mother. My father rang me up, okay, and it was pretty awful. They had an image, and it was horrible. I'm not going to give details or anything else like that. My father rang me up. He was looking for answers. And I turned around very carefully. I was a Christian now, okay? And I turned around very carefully. I says, "Dad, have you ever been involved in witchcraft?" "No. What earth makes you say that?" "Well, Dad, as a child, I found a book." "How did you know about that book?" "Well, I found it, Dad. I used to read it. I'd sneak out and read it." "Oh, no, no, no. I don't. That doesn't exist." I said, "Dad, I could tell you exactly where that book is now sitting." "Oh. Has there been a history of witchcraft in our family?" And it slowly started to come out. Okay, that his aunts, that other people back in previous generations were doing the whole stuff. Right? Although they would call it white witchcraft, or they would call it this type of witchcraft or whatever. It was witchcraft. All right? And that was manifesting itself in my father and my mother. Okay? And I recognized that there's obviously curses hanging over our family. Now, over a year ago, okay, Loretta and I, we decided that we had to do something about it. And we broke that curse. Okay? We repented of the sin. Because obviously those people aren't around to do it anymore. Right? And we broke that curse, right, for the benefit of ourselves and also for what was coming down the line. For our sons and their wives and their children. And do you know what? And that was our motivation. We wanted our boys to have a good life, okay, and assess ourselves. And God blessed that, and his blessing, it went out to my brother and his family, and it went up to my father and my mother. It was incredible, right? That has been broken now, right? So, this is why I love this thing about the restoration of the broken cities, the broken things, things like that. Okay, God is in the restoration business. I'd love to have a picture of a dilapidated old chair or something like that. Okay, God is in the restoration business. Okay, he doesn't want to leave us where we're at, and he doesn't want things to continue. So if God is in the restoration business, why is he putting us in jail? Right? Matthew 18. Why is he putting us in jail? Okay, and this is what comes out in the training and the DVDs as well, okay? Think of it this way, all right? Is it possible that God might bring you to a place for your benefit, although it may appear to be bad, okay? Because the lenses I'm wearing at the moment are telling me it's bad, okay? The world around me is telling me it's bad. The devil is telling me it's bad. Where, in fact, God is bringing you to a place where ultimately you are just incapable of doing anything. Because effectively in prison, you are incapable of doing anything about anything, are you? You're sitting there doing absolutely sweet nothing. Okay? Is it possible that God loves you so much that he has to ultimately bring you to a place where you go, "I'm stuck. I can do nothing. I'm locked here. Okay, what am I going to do about it now? Well, I can sit here and mope and live out the rest of my life in this miserable place, or I can go, I can talk to the jailer. I can, let me out. Please let me out. All right? Please let me out. Now, in Isaiah 61, they use two verses, they use two different terminologies there, and Jesus says the same thing as well. All right? To proclaim liberty to the captives, all right, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. All right? And I think about what, you know, and they say, why does he use that and things like that? And I'm trying to think about in a context as well. Captives, if you think about in the exile times, right, when the Jews were taken into captivity, they weren't all thrown in jail, were they? Right? They actually lived in amongst the people. Okay? They lived effectively ordinary lives, and some of them were even raised up to very high respectable positions, Daniel and those kind of things, okay? They were still in captivity because they weren't exactly where they should be, as in the promised land. They were in exile, but their life in general was reasonably free. And I've even got to think to myself, wow, they could have actually escaped and gone across the border and got back if they really wanted to, or if they really felt that they could. Obviously, they were quite far away and they needed help to get back or whatever. But then specifically, there are those who are in prison. Those are in prison, okay? The opening of the prison to those who are bound. All right. Back to Matthew chapter 18. If we are in prison because we are not forgiving, then what do you think the answer is to get out? Forgiveness. Thank you, Monica. Yeah? All right. And again, I keep going back to the trainer. I'm giving all credit to these Sozo ladies and what they've done, things like that, because this has blown open my life. All right. I mentioned this to you as well, okay? She comes from a wrestling background, all right? And in wrestling, and I've been there as well, I've been pinned down on the ground, okay? You know, you see them, they're pinned down on the ground, okay? And they're like, help! And in English wrestling, they probably do it slightly different. They actually have to hit the floor. You seen that? Okay? Big Daddy is sitting on little Steve. He can't move. Help! No, nobody's going to help me. Right? I've got to hit the floor and tell him I'm patting out. Okay? It's not like, oh, please be gracious to me and get your big fat body off me. All right? No chance, mate. I've actually got to surrender. I've got to pat out. Okay? I've got to hit that floor and he's going to know that, yes, I give up. I have given up. I'm submitting to him. All right? And up he gets. I'm free. Okay, to carry on the wrestling match or whatever. All right? But that is what is necessary. And I love what these ladies are saying is, God has given us a way to pat out. And what is that way? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Okay? That is the key. All right? God, I can't do anything. I can't get out of this jail cell. I am stuck. I don't want to be here. I give you the key. I give you the key. All right? Clunk. Door opens. Jesus comes in. Healing starts. All right. That is it. There is nothing complicated about it. You got it? Is that it? Right. Finish. Off we go. Okay. So, right. That is effectively it. Okay. God bringing us to that place, okay, where we are so utterly dependent upon him. And he's going, I want you to forgive. All right? Looking through the lenses that God is actually good. Everything that he does is motivated by love and not condemnation. Brings us to a place where we go, God, I'm stuck. Well, Steve, is there anybody you need to forgive? can imagine the words that are going through my mind now. Right? Oh, and oh dear would be pulling it politely. All right? And I go, oh, yeah, okay, there's actually somebody I need to forgive. All right? Are you willing to forgive them? Well, I can't do anything else. Yes, I'm willing to forgive. Oh God, I forgive this person for doing this, for doing that, for doing that. And I release them now, Lord God, from the pain. Clunk, the door opens. God comes in and starts healing. He starts healing you. This is the wonderful thing about it, okay? All right? The wonderful thing about forgiveness is the one who gets healed is me. Because the one who actually needs forgiving, and this is a very, very important point, okay? All right? The one who has caused the pain in the first place probably couldn't care less, probably doesn't know about it, probably has forgotten about it, probably doesn't even exist anymore, isn't around anymore. And so the only one who's actually hurting is me. And that has been so true in my life on many occasions. All right? I'm the one who's carrying around the stress on the back of my neck, and my arms are arched up like this, and my muscles are standing up. And how many times have you said to yourself, I am sick and tired of this? Because it makes you physically sick. Okay? All right? Okay? I'm going to release that in a minute. Okay? It makes you physically sick. But yet, when we forgive, clunk. I'm not saying it's the only thing, okay? But I tell you what, it's the most powerful thing that I'm seeing at the moment. Okay? Most powerful thing that I'm seeing at the moment. Okay, I want to show you a couple of slides. And then we're going to move on. I'm going to share some of my testimony. All right. Okay. This is one of the tools that they use in this training. It's called the Father Ladder. All right. Now, we are body, soul, and spirit. Okay? We are composed of three identities. Body, soul, and spirit. Our body, okay, think about it this way, needs identity. All right? It needs protection and it needs provision. All right? Okay? All right? Our soul needs communication with others and companionship. All right? Our spirit needs comfort and teaching. Okay? Those are our needs, our wants. Where are we going to get those needs and wants met? All right? In an earthly sense, our Father provides us with identity, protection, and provision. Sorry, our Father should provide us with those things. Okay? They should provide us with those things. All right? Our siblings, brothers and sisters, providers and friends, provide us with communication and companionship. You see it in your children, don't you? How many times they love their friends more than you sometimes, or whatever it is, okay? All right? Okay? And our mother generally is the one who provides us with comfort and teaching. All right? If the boys get hurt, they run to mummy. Okay? A brilliant example, Loretta has been the teacher in the boys' life from the beginning. Okay? Either through homeschooling or whatever it is, okay? And I recognize that. All right? Okay? But the father should provide identity, protection, and provision. And the siblings and friends, communication and companionship. So that is what should be happening on an earthly sense. Now then, if one of those needs are not being met, okay, it's highly likely that it's going to affect our relationship with either our father, our brothers and sisters, or our mother. Do you understand? All right, you'll see in a minute how that affected me in my life. All right. And, well, let's leave that off for there for now, okay? All right? Okay. This is what happened to me when I went through my Sozo session. And this is what I shared with the youth on Thursday. All right? As I sat down, I'm thinking, oh my God, what are they going to do to me? I thought they're going to rip my life apart and I'd be torn to shreds and things like that, okay. But what was going through my mind coming up to the Sozo session is, why do I feel that I am the one who has to sort out everybody else's issues? Okay? And I'll be honest with you, I say, I am sick and tired of sorting out everybody else's problems. Okay? Seriously. All right? You know, I thought I got away from that kind of rubbish when I was a manager. When I left being a quarry manager, I thought, brilliant, I no longer have to sort out other people's personal problems. Right? Because obviously their personal problems get carried into the workplace. And I either end up having to sack them, or discipline them, or train them up to be something that they should be, what they're not. Okay? So here I am now as a pastor, and do you know what? I find myself having to deal with everybody's personal problems. And it's tough. If I do it in my own strength, okay? But, and I'm like, I'm having to deal with issues which I've inherited from previous leaders. And I'm like, why couldn't they sort them out? Why leave it for me? And I had this mentality, that I was the one who had killer written across here, all right? Seriously, I was the one who had to sort of hit things head on, confront them, deal with them, and then pick up all the mess afterwards. And it was ugly, it was horrible, and everything else like that. And I thought, why me? What did I do to deserve this? Oh, download. We just start the session now. Download, okay? And straight away, all right, God showed me when I was in secondary school. I was 17 years old, okay? 17 years old. I'd been bullied all my school life. All right? I'd been bullied all my secondary school life, all right? And I clearly remember these guys and everything else about it, okay? It was never really physical bullying. It was always verbal, okay? I felt like the littlest one all the time, all right? And he brought me back to this one time, okay, in the sixth form common room. We had a table tennis table there, and my bully was standing there playing table tennis. And I had already that morning, that night, I hardly slept that night, I had decided that I'm going to go into school the next morning. And whether I live or die, whether I get smashed to smithereens or live, okay, I was actually going to confront my bully and tell him that it stops here and it will not happen anymore. And so I went into school that morning, and before I said hello to anybody else, I saw him there. And I walked straight up to him and I said, this is stopping now. I pointed my finger out. I couldn't believe it. My legs were like that. I said, this is stopping now, okay? You are no longer going to bully me. This is ended and this is finished and you are no longer going to do it. That guy crumbled and walked away. I couldn't believe it. All right? And do you know what I learned, though? I learned that when I take my life in my own hands and deal with the issues, I will see results. And do you know why I have to do it? Because I can't trust anybody else to do it for me. Okay? All right? The person who needed to protect me was never there. I had to do it. Okay? And I've carried that all through my life. I went and joined the army. I went into quarrying and things like that. And I've always dealt with things head on. My bosses have been scared to sack people. I've gone and sacked them. Right? I've had a troublemaker. I've gone and dealt with them. Okay? I've always done it the right way, but I've always had to do it. Right? I had a guy with a baseball bat threatening to kill me. And I've had to stand there in front of him and say, you will not do this. Right? Okay? Shaking in my knees, you will not do this. Thank God I have his protection upon me and things like that. But I tell you what, put it politely, I was wetting my pants, okay? But I've always felt as if I have had to do it, because the one who... All right, we went from that, so we went further back, okay? God has downloaded into me. He took me to a place when I was 7 years old. I was in boarding school, all right? My parents put us into boarding school when we were very young, all right? And I walked out, if you imagine a big old Gothic Catholic boarding school, right? Convent, nuns, and all that kind of stuff. And I walked out onto the terrace one day, and there was a wooden bench table, all right? And our house mothers, OK? Okay, we had house mothers to look after us, or in our dormitories, anything like that. They were standing there, and I just happened to be walking out one day, and our house parents, our house mothers, were sitting there chatting and having a bit of a giggle, and things like that. And as I walked up close, I wasn't meaning to talk to them or anything like that, as I walked up close, okay, I heard my house mother say something about me which struck me right down in my heart. Okay? She was putting me down in front of these other people. And I, as a little seven-year-old, I felt so alone. I felt so alone. I had no one to turn to. I was stuck there in the middle of this terrace, right? And I just stood there and I just couldn't believe what I heard her say. This woman who should have been looking after me, mother, okay? The one who should be comforting me, all right? Was literally slagging me off in front of these other people. And they were laughing. And as a little seven-year-old, I just stood there, right? And I didn't cry, I don't remember. But I remember, but the one who should have been protecting me wasn't there. You know, he said, you know, my father was nowhere. I had no one to run to. Right? And as they were leading me through this session, they turned around and asked me, you know, where is Father God in this? He's nowhere to be seen. You know, as I was imagining myself as a seven-year-old child, where is Father God in this situation? I said, he's not here. This is me only a couple of weeks ago as a pastor, right? He's not there. All right? Well, at least I couldn't see him. Okay? And I was just like, oh, God. I had no friend to comfort me, Jesus. All right? I was just totally and utterly alone. And I carried that all the way through my life. And that's manifested itself in the way that I've done things. Because I feel as if I'm the one who has to take control of things now. Because nobody's going to do it for me. My needs as a child were not being met. Do you understand that, Maya? Is this helping you now, is it? Okay, fair enough then, okay? All right? But my needs from my father were not being met in identity. And again, all right, I love my father now. Trust me, okay? I've dealt with these issues and things like that, okay? And I bless my father now, all right? Okay? But unfortunately, my father was a career-minded guy. Right? Even when I wasn't in boarding school or anything like that, okay. And like generally, he was interested in his career. Although he was there, he wasn't really there. But most often, he wasn't actually even there anyway. All right? Okay. Siblings and friends, I had a great brother, no problem with that. But my friends were never really the kind of friends that I needed around me or anything like that, okay. I sound terrible, don't I? I had an awful life, okay. It wasn't that bad, all right. But it's amazing how we carry things. Pardon? My dad was in the army. He was focusing on that, okay? My mother, comforter and teacher, my mother was more likely what my father should have been. She was the one who punished us. She was the one who told you what to do and all that kind of stuff. And I don't remember ever getting a hug from either of my parents. Okay? All right? Now then, with all that in mind, okay? They turned around and said, do you feel as if there's anybody you need to forgive? Oh, boy. How long's the list? Okay. Well, will we do that? And we started going through the process. Okay. All right. We started with my father, actually. Okay. I forgive my father. Father God, right now. Okay. I choose to forgive my father. Okay. For not being there when I needed him. Yeah? Not being there when I needed him to protect me. I forgive my father for not teaching me who I should be, my identity. Okay? I forgive my father for not teaching me what is my identity. Okay? Yeah, my father provided for us, but he was never there to share it with us as such. All right? But I forgive him specifically for each of these things. All right, I renounce the lie now that you, okay, Father God, are not willing to give me identity, to protect me, and to provide for me. So this is the relationship now, and this is what we've been learning, okay, is that often when we have issues on the earthly, it affects how we relate to the heavenly. The spiritual. This is why I believe that forgiveness is such a key, okay? Because as I forgive my earthly father, all right, and renounce the lie that my heavenly father is not able and willing to do that. Now, when I did that, okay? Okay? When I forgave my friends for not coming around me in that boarding school or for not supporting me when I was being bullied at school, all right? And I renounce that Jesus doesn't want to be my friend, okay? When I forgave my house mothers, not actually my mother, but my house mothers for saying the things that they said about me when I really needed to be comforted, okay? And I forgave my mother for not being the mother that I believed I needed at the time, and wanted. But in fact, she was something else, unfortunately, all right? Okay, and I forgave her. Do you know what? Things just started to change. Healing started to take place. Okay? You know, I believe relationships start to change. Okay? And to improve. But God starts with me. Ultimately, I'm the one who benefits from it. All right? We release those people who have caused us hurt. Okay? We release them. They're God's to deal with. Remember I told you about coming to the throne of grace? Were you here that time? All right? Okay? They asked afterwards, was there anybody else you need to forgive? And I went, I've got a whole list of people, all right? Okay, well, I said, can we bundle them together? Do a quick job on the whole lot. So they said, right, we'll come before the throne of grace, okay, and I want you to picture Jesus. And whoa, there's Jesus. I can picture him right now. Jesus is standing right beside me. The throne of grace is right in front of me. The Father God is sitting on the throne of grace. And I'm standing there, and I've got this whole list. I can see these people, the bullies. I can see... I'm not going to name them because I've already dealt with them. Each face, each name, and things like that, okay? And they said, right, I would like you to give them to Jesus now. So I'm like listing them off to Jesus, okay? And I'm feeling good as I tell everyone, okay? Tell Jesus every single name. And they said, what is Jesus doing with it? Jesus is writing them on a scroll. Each name I give him, or each face, if I can't remember the name, he's giving. He's putting that on that scroll. And I'm, right, okay, Jesus is there, okay. And they said, are you done? I said, yeah, I'm done, thank you. And I said, what's Jesus doing with the scroll now? Well, Jesus, I could see him doing it. He was passing it up to Father God. Okay, all right. And as he passed it up to Father God opened it up. And he smiled. And I felt such a peace about this. I thought, God's smiling over my issues. Okay? And then I went, whoa. And they said, what's happening? I said, something strange just happened. God rolled up the scroll, took the scroll, and he chucked it behind the throne. And I'm saying, God, why? How can you do that with my issues? How can you cast my issues back behind your throne? And so we asked Father God, Father God, why did you do that? And I heard God simply say, they're mine to deal with. Don't worry about them, they're mine to deal with. And then it clicked in me that I had given God my issues. Who am I to tell him how he deals with them? All right? But in saying that, it was a positive thing as well, because he said, they're mine to deal with. All right? These are my children as much as you are my child. He was looking at what really matters right now is me and you. Me and you is what really matters right now. I can sort them out in my own time. I'm God. And I thought, oh yeah, I've just given them to you. Right? And it was brilliant. You know, how can I give God my issues and not expect him to deal with them? All right? But as I forgave each one of them, all right? Oh man, I just pray blessing over their lives, okay? I don't know if I'll ever see them again. They probably don't even remember me. In fact, I know one of them did because I met him once years and years ago before I was a Christian. And we were doing a road job. And there, this is the other side of unforgiveness now, okay? All right? I was training to be a surveyor. I was working on a road job and then I had to go to the laboratory. And as I walked into the laboratory, whoa. Now, I was 26 at the time. 26. I was a grown man. I'd been 6 years in the army. I was now 26. I was in university. I walked into this laboratory, and do you know what I saw? I saw my bully from school. Not the one I pointed the finger at. This was his compadre. All right? This was the guy that everybody loved, but he picked on me. He was standing there in front of me, 26 years old. He was 26. I was 26. Do you know what was going through my mind? I want to make this guy pay. I want to make this guy pay for all the hurt that he's caused me all my life. And do you know what I did? I did. I did to him verbally what he did to me as a child. Right? He was like, "Wow, Steve, great to see you." And I thought, "You hypocrite. You B.A. whatever." You can imagine. All right? You know, he was like, "How you doing?" He was telling me about all the stuff he's been doing all his life and things like that. And all I could think of, do you know how much pain you've caused me? What I've had to walk with all my life because of you? And do you know what I did? I suddenly turned around and said to him, I says, "I have to tell you something." He said, "Oh yeah, what? Yeah, what?" I said, "I hated you. I hate you. I hate you for the pain that you've caused me." He says, "What pain?" I said, "You don't remember what you did to me in school, do you?" "Oh. Oh yeah." And do you know what I did? I walked out of that place with such a smug satisfaction on me, I made him pay. And do you know what? I still carried the pain. I still carried the hurt. I still carried the frustration. I never let go of it. That did not do the job. But I've forgiven him. And I bless him. And I release him to God. Okay? And I just hope and pray that he is now that primary school teacher that he wanted to be. How can you be a primary school teacher after what you did to me? Right? Okay? I hope he's a brilliant primary school teacher now with a big family, because I got an impression that he was going to be a family guy. All right? Praise God. And things like that, okay? All right? It's for my benefit that I forgave. Okay? He's in God's hands. So when we look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, okay, I would like you to consider that God does not want to bring you to a place of cold, dark, damp, dirty, horrible emotions and feelings. But in fact, he wants to bring you to a place where you go, "Oh God, I pat out. I pat out." All right? How's that sound? Because you love me? Because you're a good God? And whatever issues I have with my father, with my mother, with my brothers and my sisters, my friends and things like that, okay, I can trust you to deal with them. Right. Okay? I am absolutely convinced that this is a key for each one of us, not just for those doing sozo, but for each one of us. Now, we can do this alone, okay? We can go pray, "Father God, show me who I need to forgive." All right? Okay. "Father God, show me where you are right now." Get a sense of where he's at. Get a feeling, get a word or anything like that. Is he far away? Is he right up close? Can you see him? Can you sense him? Can you picture him? "Father God, what lie is it that I'm believing about you? Father God, what truth do you want me to know about you?" Now then, what I found and experienced was as I went through this process, and I got a sense that I couldn't see God. I couldn't feel God. I felt alone. Okay? And they let me through. Well, is there someone you need to forgive? Right? Is there someone you need to forgive? Do you want to do that right now? "Father God, please show me if there is anyone that I need to forgive." If you got a sense of something, okay, if you got some picture or some image or word came to mind or anything like that, you got a feeling that you need to forgive someone, right? Would you like to do that right now? Or would you like to maybe do it in private? Anybody? You want to do that? Okay. Pardon? You go in private, okay, afterwards, and you go ahead, okay? All right? Okay. Anybody else? Yeah? You want to as well, okay. All right then. Okay. All that. We will be here from now till whenever, okay? If you feel that you have something, that you felt something or heard something, different people feel God, hear God, sense God in different ways. Okay? All right? So whatever it is, and I'm saying that the first thing that comes to mind, okay? The first thing that comes to mind, all right? Run with it. It might sound stupid, okay? It might feel stupid, but run with that, okay? If you feel, and I was going to say, if you feel that you have someone you want to forgive, okay? All right? If you feel that you have something, then I'm willing to stay as long as it takes this afternoon, all right? Or you can ring us up, okay? And we'll come and we'll pray with you privately or whatever, okay? If you feel we want to do that. But I just want to encourage you this morning, all right? Speaking from experience, I have found it to be such a life-giving, restoring, building experience. Okay, as I've given to God those things that are in my life and allowed him to bring healing. And I feel so much better. Okay, I feel so much better. That's going to be okay. All right, let's go. Father God, we thank you this morning. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for the three in one. The God who, motivated by love, does these things in our lives. Lord God, I pray that as we walk with you this week, we will continue to hear your voice. We will continue to sense your presence, Lord God, and we will listen to what you're saying to us. Lord, I desire that each one of us will be restored, encouraged, built up, Lord God, healed completely. Spirit, body and soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.